are spiritual warfare and demon possession only found in the time of Jesus and the apostles? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040. Experts in war and military matters will tell you that sometimes battle can turn on the smallest thing. A little indecision, one man. We all know that old poem, for want of a nail. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. And it all goes down to, for want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. Well, there's a battle taking place at the cross. Happens to involve nails, too. There that man is pinned to the cross, and he is engaged in the battle of all eternity. Not a battle against the devil, per se, although the devil is certainly a combatant there at the cross, but a battle against sin and death, one from which he emerges the victor in his death, vindicated in his resurrection. Was there ever any doubt as to the outcome of that battle that Jesus engaged in for us in our place at the cross when he won victory over sin, death, and yes, even the devil? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us to study the Easter hymn, The Strife Is O'er, The Battle Done, Dr. Arthur Just. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always wonderful to be with you, and especially in this great season of Easter.
What we celebrate during the season of Easter is obviously the victory won by Christ in his death and resurrection. Was there ever any doubt as to the outcome of that battle?
That's a great question, Todd, and I think the answer is an affirmative. There was never any doubt. There was never any question that Christ would be victorious. That's why Jesus' temptation in the wilderness by the devil was never a real contest in a way. He did experience and feel fully the pain, the suffering that temptation brings, but he could not give in to temptation. That's part of our confession of who he is, the person of Jesus. In his divine and human nature, could not sin. He could not be defeated. So this isn't like the Super Bowl where there's some sort of, you know, doubt as to who the victor might be. I mean, there is no doubt that Christ is the victor.
And is there ever any doubt as to whether or not he will rise from the dead?
No, there isn't. In fact, there's one way of even looking at the Old Testament, and that is, if the Messiah comes and does what the Old Testament said he must do, what God has demanded because of justice, then justice requires that he be raised from the dead. And that's the significance of the incarnation, that he who is without sin becomes sin for us. And in doing that, God the Father must raise him from the dead, if in fact the Old Testament is true. If in fact God's plan of salvation is what God's plan of salvation said it was.
This hymn, The Strife Is O'er, is often sung during the Easter season, but also outside the Easter season at Christian funerals. What's the connection there?
Well, we are so wrapped up by our baptism in Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection that when we die, we really don't die in any sort of eternal way, because we've been joined to Christ's life, and Christ's life is an eternal life. And so in a sense, the battle with sin is over. The battle with the devil and all the forces of evil, all those elemental powers of the universe that St. Paul talked about, all those, even the law, you know, that has, in a sense, entangled us, we have triumphed over that with our death. Because with death, what we do is we enter into now full, complete life in Christ. And it is a victory. It is a victory over the powers of death, the powers of Satan, the powers of sin, because we have been united with Christ in a death like his and a resurrection like his.
What are the primary biblical underpinnings of this hymn that we're going to look at, The Strife Is O'er?
Well, there are some wonderful, kind of a multitude of references here. I think the one that certainly pops into our mind right away is 1 Corinthians 15, the wonderful hymn there when Paul says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of sin, of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I mean, that, for me, is the overwhelming verse that this hymn is based on. But there are some other really wonderful kind of references that I think add to it. Of course, the very last stanza, we're going to see a direct quotation from Isaiah 53. "He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed." So I would say those are the two main ones. But there is a wonderful reference here, I think, to 1 Timothy. And that reference makes all the difference in the world. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. And let me just read it for you here, because I think you can hear it in this hymn. "And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ," and here it is, "who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And one of the things that we would say that this hymn affirms is that Christ abolished death by his death. I think you could also look, and many of the commentators will say that Ephesians 2, especially at the beginning, verse 1, verses 4 to 6, there's an oblique reference there. But the three that I mentioned, 1 Corinthians 15, Isaiah 53, and 2 Timothy 1, I think those are the main biblical references. And in many ways, it is, in a sense, the theme of the whole New Testament.
Now, I want to, before we get into this first stanza, put a fine point upon something you just said there. And that is, it is by Jesus' death that he abolishes death. Many Christians, and I think well-meaning Christians, sometimes think that the resurrection is the abolition of death rather than Christ's death himself. Why is it important to stick with the way the Bible formulates that? His death destroys death, not his resurrection.
Well, I mean, if you think about what Jesus came to do, he came to experience every aspect of our life, from conception in the womb of a woman, his mother Mary, the Virgin Mary. He spent a childhood like ours, an adolescence, an adulthood. He suffered, you know, like we did. And of course, we always qualify that, but without sin. And if he was going to do the full realm of human experience, he had to die. And of course, his death was probably more horrific than 99.9% of all the deaths that are in this world. It's hard to think of another death that was more horrific than his. As my good former president, Dean Wenthe, used to say about Jesus' death, is that it was the most violent moment in the history of the world, because this is where God demanded justice, and for that justice to be for the salvation of the whole cosmos, he had to, you know, forsake his son. And in that forsakenness, there can be nothing but violence and blood and suffering. What Jesus does with that death, though, is he shows us that death is now a Passover to life. That's why the image of Passover is so important, because death is not the end. It is like the Passover itself. It is a crossing of a boundary, and sometimes that boundary can be frightening, like death can sometimes be, or like the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. That's another Passover, or even backing up the angel of death passing over their houses. What a frightening thing that was. But I mean, death now is a means towards life. It passes us over into life. And when you see Jesus on the cross, when you see his body there on the cross, you see the victory. You see the triumph. You see the glory of God. That's the great theme of John's gospel as far as he portrays Jesus' death. And so that's why we say that Jesus conquers death by his death. Death is the means to life. Death is the means to glory.
Let's hear the first stanza of "The strife is o'er, the battle done. The strife is o'er, the battle done. Now is the victor's triumph won. Oh, let the songs of praise be sung. Alleluia." Truro Cathedral Choir with stanza one of the Easter hymn, "The strife is o'er, the battle done." This is just kind of begins with the celebration, doesn't it?
Well, the whole hymn is a celebration. And in many ways, it's very hard to isolate one verse in this hymn because they all sort of run together and they're meant to be one long song of praise. I mean, one thing that you see right away when you look at the whole hymn is that every verse ends right before the Alleluia with a song of praise be sung. You know, let shouts of praise and joy outburst. Oh, let us swell the joyful strain. Let hymns of praise his triumph tell. And then finally, the way that we may live and sing to thee. So, I mean, it the whole hymn is a hymn of praise. And it's all spoken of from the point of view of the empty tomb, the resurrection. Now, in this particular verse, It's such a wonderful verse because you get the sense that it has been a struggle, that it has been a horrific journey and pilgrimage. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why Lent is so significant to us, because it shows us that there really cannot be any glory without the suffering. That's one of the great themes of the Gospels. I teach Luke's Gospel, and it certainly is one of his great themes. Jesus uses that language, you know, to the Emmaus disciples when he sort of, you know, summarizes in a very pithy, you know, kind of formula what the gospel is, that it's necessary that the Christ suffer and then enter into his glory. I mean, that's the theme of Luke chapter 9, where you have the first passion prediction and then you have the transfiguration, suffering before glory. Well, you get a sense here that the suffering was intense, and now it's over. The battle was fierce, but now it's done. And we can now, from the perspective of Easter, we can sing of the triumph of the victory over death. That's the great theme of Easter. And that's why Easter is, you know, is this feast of feasts. That's why it's, you know, 50 days, the 50 days of celebrating the triumph that the strife is over, the battle done.
When we come back, we're going to look at stanza two of this Easter hymn, "The strife is o'er, the battle done." Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. He's professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service.
A confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation in southeast Michigan in Rochester Hills. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. That's lciw.org. We gather for the divine service every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at Lutheran High School Northwest, the Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. Find us on the internet at lciw.org.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the Easter hymn, The Strife is O'er, The Battle Done. One more thought on that before we go on to stanza two, Dr. Just. We are saying when we say that the battle is done, what does that mean? What's the comfort in knowing that the battle Jesus fought will never, ever be fought again, that we have only the victory, no more conflict in that sense awaiting us?
Well, I think for me, I mean, when you think about that, the cross and the battle that Jesus fought on our behalf and the suffering that he experienced finally and fully on the cross, where he says it is finished, is that the wrath of God against sin has been satiated. So we don't have to pay for our own sins. It's been paid for. The ransom has been paid. And so there is no need for us to concern ourselves in any way with trying on our own efforts, by our own powers, to satisfy, you know, God's demands. There's nothing that we can do. It's all been done. The fight, the final kind of eternal battle for the salvation of all the souls, really for the salvation of the world, it's done. It's finished. I mean, and I think a lot of Christians don't operate that way. They still feel like there's something they got to do. There's something that is still left undone. And it's over. We are free. We do not have to in any way concern ourselves with trying to do anything more to satisfy God's demands. Jesus did it all. And he suffered horrifically on our behalf. I mean, he fought a battle that was beyond our comprehension. We can't even imagine how horrific it was, but it's over, and that's why we can sing praises to the one who has conquered death by his death.
Stanza two, death's mightiest powers have done their worst, and Jesus hath his foes dispersed. Let shouts of praise and joy outburst. Alleluia. Dr. Just, I've often wondered about this, that aspect of Christ's suffering and of his death itself, that we cannot see, that isn't open to our senses, but only told us in Holy Scripture and in hymns like this that reflect those scriptures. There is much of the battle that Christ is undergoing there is not seen by those standing at the foot of the cross. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's why we love Isaiah 53 so much, because I think Isaiah 53 does give you a sense of how horrific it was. And I think that if you read Isaiah 53 very carefully, you can see that there are things that we don't even want to know. I mean, I certainly look at the way in which it portrays him, that there was such a horrific appearance that we wouldn't even be able to look at him. You know, this is actually at the end of Isaiah 52, but, you know, it says, his appearance so marred beyond human semblance, his form beyond that of the children of mankind, so that he could sprinkle many nations. I mean, we all saw the Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ. And I know how many came back from that just shocked at the violence. All the evangelicals especially were shocked at the violence. And that's why I mentioned what my president said. It wasn't violent enough, he said, because it was the most violent moment in the history of the world. And you know, that strife went through all his ministry. I mean, he was fighting the devil all the time. He was fighting the devil in the person of the Pharisees, who were trying to really, in a sense, challenge him and the suffering that he did, knowing that they, at least at that point, didn't get that it's not about works, it's by grace and grace alone. And I mean, when he finally went through the Holy Week suffering, and especially the 3 days, especially Good Friday, I should say, it was. It was a spiritual, emotional, physical suffering that we can't even contemplate. Luke's gospel in the Garden of Gethsemane says that he, from his forehead came drops of blood. I mean, and that was nobody had laid a hand on him yet. But I mean, I think there he saw the horror. I always use Joseph Conrad's The Heart of Darkness, which I think he had in mind when he had that man going into the jungles and looking over and seeing the darkness of the abyss and saying, the horror, the horror. I think that's what Jesus saw in Gethsemane, the horror of human sinfulness, of the darkness that he had to endure on the cross. And yeah, you couldn't really portray it, because nobody could possibly have come away from that without being flawed for life. You talk about post-traumatic syndrome, that would have been the most horrific post-traumatic syndrome that anybody could have experienced if they saw what Jesus went through on the cross for us.
I experience, all of us will experience death, our portion of death. But does Jesus die all death? Are all deaths on account of sin made his there on the cross?
I would say they were. I don't know that I've ever thought of that question before, Todd. I would say that he does abolish death, all death, with his death, and makes all things new. I mean, that's what the Book of Revelation says, and I certainly believe that that's what his whole ministry was about, to make all things new, to restore things to what God intended them to be, to bring in a new creation. And I think he has to do that by taking on all of death. I think that's what this verse is about, that death went after him. And the foes of death, you know, not the foes of death, but the foes that were, you know, death constituted. I mean, Satan was after him. I mean, I always say from Galatians, the law killed him. The law was after him, because the law sees a sinner on the cross. And what does the law do? The law curses. The law condemns. And so in many ways, the law killed Jesus. It had to. I mean, and that's where he fulfills the law, in love, by allowing the law to kill him, you know. And I mean, it's the foes. Luther had it best. I mean, he said it so well, sin, death, and the devil. You know, I mean, and those were those elemental powers of the universe that were coming down upon him. You know, and you'd want to include the law too in the flesh, you know. I mean, that he overcame our flesh by being perfect in and of himself.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. We're studying the Easter hymn, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done." He's professor of New Testament, chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, the third stanza, "On the third morn he rose again, glorious in majesty to reign. Oh, let us swell the joyful strain. Alleluia." We'll be right back.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, and Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
T-shirts, shorts, sun. Get in shape this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Get A-Fit this spring at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Every week, Ravinelli's Restaurant and Carryout cooks up 29,000 pieces of chicken, 980 gallons of meat sauce, 310 loaves of fresh bread, and 200 fresh pies and cakes. Ravinelli's Restaurant and Carryout in Granite City, Collinsville, and O'Fallon, Illinois. Ravinelli's.com. Ravanellis.com. Ravinelli's Restaurant and Carryout.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. Truro Cathedral Choir with stanza 3 of the Easter hymn, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done." We're studying that Easter hymn with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now we come to the resurrection itself. So how would you explain this to, say, the Easter congregation, The battle is finished at the cross. What is the resurrection, both for Christ and then, of course, in him for us?
Well, the resurrection is where Jesus comes forth and shows us what we were created to be, perfect. He shows us a resurrected body, what we will one day be. He shows us the wounds on his hands, on his feet, and his side that cost him, you know, to reach this point where he could announce the resurrection and the new creation. But in a way, it's a proclamation that what he said, what the Old Testament said, what the Holy Trinity promised through the Son, that it is true. I mean, and in his resurrected body, we see, you know, in a sense, what had to happen because of Adam's fall. In his resurrected body, we see our heavenly destiny. We see what he has made us in holy baptism. In many ways, it's the evidence. I mean, you can see in many of the resurrection chapters of the Gospels, the disciples think they see a ghost. They're not sure, you know, that this could, it's too good to be true. I love that phrase from Luke. They disbelieve for joy, too good to be true. And he shows them hands and feet. We always do the Thomas text in Easter because we needed to see the evidence. He eats fish before them in Luke. I mean, it's breakfast on the beach in John. His body has been resurrected from the dead. That's why we have to confess the resurrection of the body. And this is the evidence. It's right there. It is the great hope. It's why we sing. It's why we have joy. There is no point. You know, Paul says that in the chapter that I cited, 1 Corinthians 15. There is no point if the resurrection did not happen, if the resurrection is not true. And Jesus shows us that, in fact, we have the greatest, greatest gift from him in his resurrected body.
One of our theological forebears, 19th century Lutheran, American Lutheran theologian, C.F.W. Walther, will at one time even speak of Christ's resurrection as an absolution. He'll say the whole world is absolved when Christ is raised. What's he talking about?
Well, he's speaking of the fact that if absolution is really released, that's the word that is used in the Gospels, at least, to talk about forgiveness, absolution. It's a release from everything that binds us. Christ's body shows that we have now been set free from sickness, from death, from the devil, from sin. We've been set free from it all, and that's why it's an absolution. It's the greatest absolution you could see, and it has to go with his death. I mean, he absolves in his death, too. We you know, as Lutherans, we don't separate death and resurrection. They're peace, and I also always add the ascension there, too. That's part of his pilgrimage. That's part of his journey from heaven to heaven, and he's got to go from, you know, through death and be buried in the earth and then rise on the third day and then ascend on the 40th. I mean, that's all part of the plan. It's part of his being lifted up, as Luke says, and John certainly gives you that sense when the Son of Man is lifted up. And we first and foremost think of his death, but you can't help but think of his resurrection and his ascension too.
That leads us kind of to that line in the third stanza, glorious in majesty to reign. What is the nature of Christ's reign, with about a minute or so?
He reigns in preaching and in his word and in his sacrament. You know, that is why I love the hymn, "This is the feast," you know, that the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign, alleluia, and that reign starts and continues in the liturgy. You know, I mean, in the breaking of the bread at Emmaus is the beginning of his reign. He reigns from a font. He reigns from a pulpit. He reigns from a table. His ongoing presence, his crucified and risen presence, bodily, fleshly, continues to reign in the world when we gather together as the people of God around word and sacrament. That's why the liturgy is so important. It's so central, because there is the reign of God.
The fourth stanza of "The strife is o'er, the battle done." He brake the age-bound chains of hell, the bars from heaven's high portals fell. Let hymns of praise his triumph tell, Alleluia. What's in this stanza, Dr. Jast?
Well, I think one of the great themes of the Christian life is that there is this journey that we take, and it's to that city on the hill. It's to that city that is described in Revelation in such beautiful language, you know, with the river flowing and the like, and yet, because of sin, you know, in the Garden of Eden, the being barred from, you know, being participants in the tree of life, you know, that there is a sense that we have been held back because of our sin, that we had to have somebody who could break down the walls, you know, and you can even see this in Paul's writing, the walls of separations between people, that we are all now one family in Christ. I mean, even the scattering of languages that happened in Genesis in the Tower of Babel, I mean, Christ, in a sense, makes us now one family, one community. And what Christ's death does is, you know, the curtain, you know, in the temple is torn open. Everyone now has access to Christ, who is heaven. So when Christ comes in his resurrected body, you see heaven in the person of Jesus Christ, and that heaven is now on earth. That's why I titled my book on liturgy, Heaven on Earth, because Christ is present there when we gather together around word and meal, and so heaven is there. Now, the first verse, he break the age-bound chains of hell, I think my guess is this is a reference to Christ's descent in hell, where he proclaims the victory. Where he proclaims the victory over Satan, so that he has now cast Satan into his place, and people now have been set free by him through his death, and now the gates of heaven are open to all people because of the death, the Passover from death to life. That's the in a sense the key to Easter, that all people now, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, through our own baptism, through our ongoing participation in his life, we all have access to heaven.
The fifth stanza shapes itself as a prayer. Lord, by the stripes which wounded thee, from death's dread sting thy servants free, that we may live and sing to thee, Alleluia. The fifth and final stanza of the Easter hymn, "The strife is o'er, the battle done." Dr. Jast, what are we praying for in this last stanza?
Well, I have to say, Todd, I'm a theology of the cross kind of guy, and this stanza is my favorite one, because in a way, it brings us a little bit back down to reality. We confess, we believe, we proclaim, we rejoice in the resurrection, but we live under the cross. We live in suffering. We live with death. We live with pain and sin. Tragedy is all around us. We have to somehow come to grips with that. And I think that's what the stripes are. the stripes that wounded thee. This is those foes that Jesus has defeated are still trying to capture our attention. And they do. I mean, we suffer. The depression, I mean, the sickness, the tragedies, the horrors of life, of living in a world that is still broken by sin. And yet, Christ has taken those sufferings and given them meaning. We now can understand suffering and sickness and death through his suffering and death. And that's, you know, why the thing that we in many ways fear the most, you know, during this Easter season, you know, we sometimes find ourselves thinking about death more than we think we should. But death does surround us, and we are defined by death. And yet we know that because of his suffering, by his stripes that wounded him, we have been healed, that he has defeated death by his suffering. And its sting for him has set us free. And so in a way, this is a prayer for us to remember that when we suffer, we are being healed. When we are overwhelmed by death, that death no longer is the end. It is the beginning of a life that never ends. That death, in a sense, frees us from the struggle, from that first line, that the strife is o'er, the battle done.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with him, we will hear the entire Easter hymn, The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done, and we'll get Dr. Just's final thoughts on this Easter hymn as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basar, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Less laughing, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
As sure as his resurrection, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
He meets us here, not just an empty cross, not just an empty tomb, but the very risen Christ himself, the one who is the resurrection and the life.
We'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon on Job for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes studying the hymn, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done," with Dr. Arthur Jest, professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He has authored the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book, he mentioned it a few moments ago, "Heaven on Earth, the Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service." I highly recommend both of these resources, and you can get both of them from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, either the Concordia Commentary on Luke or the book Heaven on Earth, 1-800-325-3040. You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jest, one last question on the fifth and final stanza of the hymn, the last line, in fact, that says, "that we may live and sing to thee." What is the connection there between the Christian life, both here and hereafter, and this singing to the risen Christ?
Well, in a way, what it, I think, suggests is that when you have been baptized, when you confess Christ as your Savior, as the crucified and risen Christ, as you hear His word and participate in His salvation by receiving His body and blood, that's the greatest joy you can have. And when you have joy, you sing. I always say in Lutheran worship, you always sing when Christ is present, where you're at a wedding, where the bridegroom is present. I think Martin Franzmann said that our whole life is one high doxology, which means one high hymn of glory and praise to God for what He has done. And so our lives are defined by that doxology. I mean, and that's why we come to church. That's why we sing. We tend to sing about things that we love, at least in church. And what we love is that we have been redeemed through the blood of Christ, and that His resurrection is our resurrection in baptism. So it's a wonderful way to end a hymn that is really a hymn of praise to the risen Christ and the triumph that He has over all of His foes, sin, death, and the devil.
Let's hear the entire hymn. "The strife is o'er, the battle done." The Easter hymn, "The Strife Is O'er, the Battle Done." Dr. Just, we know that during the Easter season, many people are put in minds of the loss that they feel. You said it before. We live in the theology of the cross. All of us do. That person who says they've lost a loved one this year and they don't feel the victory. It doesn't feel like the battle is over for them. It feels like they're still in the midst of it. What are your thoughts?
Of course they can't feel the victory, especially after a recent death. Grief is a horrible thing. It overwhelms us sometimes. And that's because we are living in a world of loss, a world of darkness. And sometimes grief is the greatest of darknesses. But that does not mean that the resurrection is not real and that the resurrection is not true. And one thing that I would suggest is that that person go to church, that that person go and hear the voice of Jesus in the preaching, that that person go to church and receive the body and blood of Christ. And as they receive that body and blood, they are receiving the body and blood of the crucified and risen Lord. And their loved one who has died in Christ, who is with Christ, who is in heaven, who is Christ, that they are in Christ and their loved one is in Christ. And they are joined together with all of heaven, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. And that perhaps in being in community with fellow saints who are suffering, who are bringing their griefs and sorrows forward, that maybe we can bear one another's burdens there, and they can see in the body and blood of Christ that they receive, in hearing the voice of their shepherd, that in fact the resurrection is true, that there is hope, that there is a way forward, that perhaps soon their grief will turn into an understanding that their loved one is with Christ because they have been baptized. They are resurrected in him.
With only a minute, Dr. Just, now that we know the battle is in fact done, is there any doubt as to the outcome, namely our resurrection? A minute, if you would.
There is no doubt because we are in Christ and Christ is in us. That's the beauty of what we confess about what happens in baptism. We are baptized into his suffering, death, and resurrection. And Christ dwells in us with all his life. And so in this Easter season, in these great 50 days, as his baptized, we can boldly declare that the strife is o'er, the battle is done, in Christ, in us, forever.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament and chairman of the Department of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke and the book Heaven on Earth, The Gifts of Christ in the Divine Service. Dr. Just, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd, and a happy Easter season to everyone.
Folks, if you enjoy our hymn studies, please consider making a tax-deductible donation to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Now, for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter, we'll send you a CD of 2 sermons, one that I've preached on the resurrection of Jesus and the other on the Old Testament book of Job. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Issues, etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again. Issues, etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Now, thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind during the waning days of the Easter season. Tomorrow on Issues, etc., we're going to talk with Dr. Doug Grotheis of Denver Seminary about a Christian assessment of hacktivism, and we'll have Dr. Danny Faulkner of Answers in Genesis review Sunday night's episode of Cosmos, a Space-Time Odyssey. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. There never was any doubt as to the outcome for Christ. First of all, he must die. And just as he must die, he must rise from the dead. Not only is it necessary for him to rise from the dead to save us, but it is going to happen one way or the other. He is the author of life. And even though he really dies, death cannot, death never could hold him. And just as there is never any doubt as to how things are going to go for Christ, there's never any doubt as to how things are going to go for those who are in Christ now. Those for whom Christ died, whom he has given faith, it's going to go exactly the same way. Will you die? Yes, you will. But Jesus has transformed your death by his death. He's destroyed your death by his death. Will you rise again? Well, there is no more doubt about that than there was whether Jesus would rise again. You will in Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Wildwood, Missouri is a proud sponsor of Issues Etc. And if you enjoy the relevant, Christ-centered teachings presented on this program, then you should come and join us at St. Paul's on Sundays at 9 a.m., where you will hear sermons that proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins, and enjoy in-depth Bible studies to help us grow as disciples. For more information, check us out at stpaullutheranwildwood.org.